Hello, and this is Joseph G. with the good news of 12-step recovery and our first broadcast of Rum Radio. Rum Radio, our mission statement is to inform, inspire, and empower sponsorship locally and internationally to be the very best, both personally and spiritually. I'd like to acknowledge Hamilton B. and his tireless work in the recovery community and his work in 12-step sponsorship, How It Works. It's a Hazleton publication. Don't be put off. It's a really good publication, and his permission to use whatever was needed to make possible my ongoing sponsorship workshop and my rumradio.org website. I'd like to let folks know that we're doing this as a service project. There's no money being made, and we do the very best we can to adhere to the 11th tradition of anonymity. We think that's really important to keep to the traditions and whatever we do, because they work. Rum Radio came about from Hamilton. I went to Hamilton's workshop several years ago in Austin, Texas, and got his book and really hadn't bothered with it much. I really didn't sponsor. One of my early sponsees, Mike, he asked me, he heard me speaking in a meeting one time, and he asked me if I'd be his sponsor, and I wouldn't take any BS from him. Good shares. And he had a sponsor named Jack, and I knew Jack, and I called Jack up, and I said, Jack, would you have a problem with me taking over Michael? He said, no, not at all. He says, the guy's a real pain in the butt, and I have 7 sponsees right now, and I'd be more than happy to pass them on to you. Great. So we get started like my sponsor did with me, first 164 pages, did the reading and read to him, and he relapsed right away. He was a very large man, and he could drink copious amounts of alcohol. It kind of was even amazing, even with my experience. He could down a liter of rum in one sitting. He got drunk so bad one time that he couldn't even make it to the meeting. I offered to take him. It took him a couple days to revive. And we sat down and we started working the steps again. And the understanding was, if he was to drink again, he was to die. That was understood. There was no doubt about it. He acknowledged it. I said that. And so we started off, and he'd call every day as instructed. And he'd go on and on. And I was fairly new at the sponsorship shtick. And one Sunday he called, and we started making some good progress. And he called some Sunday afternoon, and I was visiting my family in Houston, and I really didn't want to take the call. But Monday morning on the way back to Houston on the way back to Austin, and I called him 7 o'clock in the morning. That was Monday morning. And he said everything was fine. He shared a meeting. He did his reading, and he got a job. He got a contract to do some marketing research, and he was real excited about that. And it turned out that it sounded too good. I said, well, we need to get together. This is Monday. How about Wednesday night? We'll get together. We'll go over the reading and the next step. Great. That was Monday morning at 7 a.m. Tuesday afternoon, his wife called me up, 2 o'clock in the afternoon the next day, and she said, you had lost another one. I really wasn't quite sure what she meant by that. My oldest daughter had passed away from an accidental overdose a year before, so it took me back and by surprise. She said he died. And from what I can make out from what she said, it was from anaphylactic shock. He had drank so much in such a short period of time, his nervous system shut down. And the next time I saw Mike, he was in a number 10 tin can at the mortuary. And after that, through recrimination, I decided not to sponsor, you know, that I wasn't a good sponsor, and somehow I took responsibility for that. Of course, you just do that naturally when someone dies, and you had, you know, if you could have did something better. And time takes time, and when I got into a position where I read Hamilton's book and I realized this was something better, it was a good way, and the steps we took by Joe and Charlie, Joe McHugh's book, Drop the Rock, this, Back to Basics. There's a lot of great information out there on sponsorship. Sort of like we sponsor, my experience in the program is we sponsor as our sponsor sponsored us, as the way his sponsor sponsored him, is the way his sponsor sponsored him. Which is great, but it's the verbal tradition. You know, we use the verbal tradition for probably one of the most important things in the program. The one immunity we have from alcohol is intensive work with another alcoholic. This activity works when other activities fail. So when we're using the verbal tradition, we're playing telephone, like in high school. And we use a verbal tradition for something that's important. Something gets added, something gets lost, something gets changed. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some really great sponsors out there. They use the big book. They have written material. They know the program. They take it right from the step. And most of the guys they work with in a timely, thorough manner get and attain long-term sobriety. My experience is, though, these are not the regular experience. My experience is most of the sponsors that sponsor shoot from the hip and really haven't got a clue on what to do. So most of the time what happens is they don't want to sponsor. Well, who wants to take the responsibility? Who wants to be accountable? Who wants to take that the chance that the guy's going to go out? All of that, the time. It's very timely to do that, too, to befriend someone and get them through the steps with your experience, strength, and hope. And they're not really quite sure how they got through the steps. They just wanted it that bad. They've gotten sober, and they live in the meetings. And that's good enough. So when you ask them to go, how about sponsoring somebody, I'm really not quite sure what a sponsor is supposed to do. That's my experience. So a lot of argument with Rum Radio is, oh, you're trying to cookie-cutter the process. It's not going to work. You know, all I'm trying to accomplish is laying down certain suggestions, guidelines, tools, and techniques that work for the greatest number of people. You take what you need and you leave the rest.
Hey, Joseph?
Yes.
Yeah, we got a question on line one. This is Tracy. She's on the air right now.
Okay. Hi,
Stacy. Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you?
Good. Everything is good except for the things that are not.
Main messages of your show.
Oh, good. What's the main message?
Uh-huh.
Sponsorship. How to sponsor, what a sponsor doesn't do, all the interactions of sponsorship, working through the big book in the 12 and 12.
Do you think someone can go through this quickly or slowly?
Well, you know, everybody's different. You're going to hear that many times. But my experience is the sooner the better. Now, the big book says thorough. So there's a balance between thorough and timely. Joe McHugh, you know, from Joe and Charlie Tapes. Are you familiar with those guys?
Yes.
Okay. He suggested in the steps we take 30 days. I'm kind of on that 30 to 45-day regime to get them through the steps in a timely manner, not to drag it out, to get them to the spiritual experience usually found by working step five as soon as possible. And I'll tell you how I do that. When a newcomer comes in, and he gets his beginner's chip, I'll go up to him immediately after he gets his beginner's chip because he's taken that walk. He's made that decision. He's in enough pain right now to swallow his pride and humble himself to get that beginner's chip. That's a good sign. I go up to him, I introduce myself, and I ask him, have you had enough? Yes or no? Most of the time I don't get a question, what do I mean? Sometimes it does. Have you had enough pain? Have you had enough humiliation? Have you had enough? If I get a yes, I'll ask them, are you willing to go to any length to achieve sobriety? Yes or no? If I get a yes, I said, okay, you can get well from this disease of mind, body, and spirit, but there's certain things you have to do. And I'll carry around Clancy's 7 questions. Are you familiar with that?
She's out the show right now. She's just listening there, Joseph.
Oh, okay.
But she's still listening.
I used Clit. Pardon me?
She's still listening, but she's not on the line any longer.
Okay.
The last question she really had is, she was concerned because she mentioned she was working with a sponsor, and the question she asked me was, she's 4 months sober, and she's out of 4-step, and she's been having a little difficulties because she's tried asking suggestions from a few people, and she's feeling a little bit irritable, as, you know, most people come at that point. And
sure.
She was actually wondering if it would be more productive to maybe find a sponsor that would take her through the steps a little more quicker, because she feels that she's ready, but the sponsor she's working with right now believes that they should take their time with the steps. And she was wondering our opinion, you know, based on the literature and the history, how it was done by the original 100.
Okay. It was done quickly. It was done from the hospital. It was done, you did the first 3 steps on your knees at the hospital before you could go to a meeting, and then the other steps were done in a couple of days. The restitution steps were done in a couple of days. Usually 2-3 days, and you worked through the steps, and then you went through, and I think it's important sooner than later. Dragging it out.
I think you'd be a little inclined to agree that everybody has that window of opportunity, you know?
Oh, absolutely. The pain is the key. The pain is a fuel. The pain is a resource to get you through the steps quickly and timely. Once the pain is gone, once we're accepted into the group, the pink cloud starts coming down, the motivation goes away. That's my experience.
Yeah,
everybody's a little different. Pardon me?
I completely agree with that. I think, you know, in my experience, too, the same thing. The pain is the motivator in the beginning, no? But, you know, it's interesting because, you know, if you really get back in the literature, like Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers and AA, the message passed on by Bill Wilson, you know, Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson, many, many times, you know, they bring the point that in the beginning, circumstances made us willing. And like you mentioned, when somebody first comes in the room, that pain, that circumstance makes us willing to take the steps necessary to produce, you know, that psychic change. And usually once we get through the 4-step to the 5th step, when it talks about the promises in the action, that's when the motivation changes, you know. It changes from pain as a motivator to we start experiencing it, as the book says, we begin to sense, you know, some of that spiritual awareness when we get to the 5th step, because we're finally able to look people in the eye. And I think the motivation, it shifts. Instead of pain, you know, we start doing it more for the joy, and it's just getting to that point. And I guess what she was talking about online when we were on hold, me and her speaking, she's at the point where she's in so much pain that she's not, you know, getting benefits yet. Well, you know, like we talked about before, and you just mentioned, unless you get through that work in the 4-step and move on, that pain is still going to be the motivator. Until you get to the other side, you're not going to see the benefits. You agree?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I think that's what we've slackened off in the program. Part of the deal is that a lot of clubs, and I don't know why, and I've read it even some in literature, that they suggest a year. And I had a sponsee from New Jersey, Dan, a chronic relapser. He'd been in since 94. The most he ever got was 5 years. And I picked him up at a club. He got his beginner's chip again and in and out. And we started working it. And in New Jersey, in his home group, the deal was you had to go to meetings for a year before you could work the steps. How crazy is that?
That's ridiculous. It's funny because all the first 100 all had their spiritual experiences in the first 30 days. I mean, the book only took about 2.5 years to write, but we're going to tell people to wait a year before they get better, you know?
Oh, yeah, it was insane. When I heard that, and was that not all New Jersey, of course, his particular club, and I've heard there were some clubs in Canada, but that's because, that's where that year gets you. I don't know where the year comes from. I guess it's, you know, we're not supposed to make any sudden moves or until we've worked the steps, but the year, I don't know. I don't understand where the year has developed, and that's not true. That's not real. It's not right. It's counterproductive. Time is of the essence.
I think a lot of things have just been taken out of context, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of cliches and stuff that have come through treatment centers and over the years, like you mentioned, no relationships for the first year, no major changes for the first year. But you know what? A lot of these things have some validity. The problem is, what people don't understand, is when people made these suggestions years and years ago, well, that's because these people worked the steps within 2, 3 weeks, 30 days. You know, by the time, you know, these guys were already working with others 2, 3 weeks into the program where,
yes,
you know, major changes in these decisions, you know, it had a different conception that we have nowadays. Like you mentioned, you know, I belong to a group in Chicago where they worked a step a year. And it's like, do you really need a year to understand you're powerless and your life's manageable? I mean,
yeah.
If you haven't come to that conclusion yet, there might be some other issues going on.
Yes, absolutely. I and that's one of the reasons that we put together Rum Radio, you know, because I could see that there was a need for this kind of information. You know, let's get the ball back where it used to be. This is a look back. This is a back to basics approach where it really worked the best. It's not exactly the same because it's not the same kind of, we're not the same folks that were back then. But this is pretty close to the way I think it was really meant to be. Now, I have sponsees that are different, and sometimes I got to drag it out with them, and that, you know, they're going to drag their feet, and that's becoming a good sponsor, is that you got to kind of tailor make it to each individual.
Yeah,
Rum Radio at least gives you format.
I think what we're trying to get across to people is to get things more back to the basis, but at the same time, we're not so black and white as some people, because, you know, there's pockets of different groups around the country and around the world that really, you know, I love them. People call them big book thumpers, big book practitioners, where they're very black and white, but it almost gets to the point where you're, you know, just like other groups where you're singled out if you don't do it exactly the way they're saying. And what we're trying to get across to people is, you know what, the big book is the basic. The steps are the basic. When they're followed quickly and thoroughly, we tap into that power, and once we tap in that power, you know, we don't shy away from the fact that once you've gotten through the steps and gotten through the first 164 pages, we more than willingly are open to other ideas and other spiritual ways of growth. It's just actually getting through the basics first. You know, like a lot of people mention, the 12 and 12 has great material. You know, it is great material, but at the same time, it's just Bill Wilson's experience. It'd be no different than if I or you run our experience about the 12 steps. And over the years, things have gotten distorted where, you know, even in some groups, people use the 12 and 12 to take people through the steps. And that's not what they intended. They intended it
no.
as something else to grow along with the book. And I think that's what we're trying to just get across to people know is let's start here. Let's get to the basic here. And then, you know what, we'll grow after this foundation is built. And I think people have missed that in the last, I'd say, 15, 20 years. And there's some groups I know out in Ingram, Texas, and Hunt, Texas area. There's some in Dallas area and San Antonio, and even here in Houston, that are really getting back to the basis. You mentioned Joe and Charlie, and there's Dick B and a few other people, and they understand the need to get back to the way the message was, because it's been so watered down and it has been distorted, and I think a lot of people around in 12-step programs has been desensitized, where, you know, it's kind of like that, almost as like this self-help therapy session that these treatments said, well, just come to AA and tell us about your problems, and it's going to be okay. And that's not the truth. You know, there's a lot of work that needs to be get done, you know, and I think we've we need to get back to this basic and get a clearer message of what this is really about, so people don't, for, you know, lack of better words, miss the boat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I always like to think an open discussion meeting is a cross between a self-help program, group therapy, and a revival meeting.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with them. It's just the sad part is nowadays, you know, I know in the city of Houston, you got almost 2,000-3,000 discussion meetings a month, but try and find a literature-based meeting. You know, it's almost few and far between. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with open discussion meetings. It's just, it's the way that they're set up, you know. There's nothing wrong. Well, I mean, what would be wrong about having an open discussion meeting about taking a paragraph out of the big book and openly discussing that? I don't think we need, you know, we're so concentrated on people's divorces and their probation officer and you know, their girlfriend or their wives, and there's nothing wrong. All those things, you know, are valid, and they're issues that need to be talked about and worked through. But the problem is not every, we don't have a bunch of PhDs and MDs and LCDCs to give this information. We're, you know, some of us are professionals, but at the same time, we're just, you know, people in recovery trying to take people through the steps. And once we can do that, well, guess what? There's other outlets for that. We just need to keep in mind our primary purpose, which I think we kind of lost track of over the years.
Thank you. Yes, I know why we're doing this together, Justin. We're on the same track. There's no doubt about it. Just amazed at how short period of time that you have, and that you've come to these agreements and understandings in such a short period of time. It's really quite amazing to me. It took me years to figure some of this out, if at all.
Well, you know what? It's taken me quite a long time, too. You know, it really has, and it's interesting because I've been a part of different groups over many years, and I've heard a lot of different things, you know, a lot of different ways, and a lot of it through trial and error. And really, that's really what, you know, rumradio.org is about, and that's what this show is about, is really getting down to the basics, and whether people like to hear it or not, it gets down to sponsorship. It's how we work with people in the program and the message that we're carrying. That's where it's got to start. You know, it's not so much the concern about the meetings or, you know, the format, because regardless of what happens in that meeting, it's the responsibility of us as individuals to carry that clearer message. And, you know, we might not be able to change the meetings or change the formats at all times, but we can definitely be responsible in the message that we carry to our sponsees.
Absolutely, yes. The one immunity we have from alcohol is intensive work with another alcoholic. This activity works when other activities fail. That's what Bill came up initially with Dr. Bob. He realized that. I'm not here to keep you sober. I'm here to keep me sober.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to it than that. As you become a sponsor, helping the other person through, you know, when we're in the service of our fellow beings, are we not in the service of our God? And when we're in that service, are we not divorced from self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity? And in that service and in that moment, is that not when we make our conscious contact with our Creator, who lives from moment to moment, eternity to eternity, life everlasting? The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's what we're trying to develop here is the, I think there's a lot of people in the program that have similar ideas. And, you know, that whole people-pleasing attitude that alcoholics and addicts have is, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I think, you know, if we have a little degree of tact and sense about how, you know, we approach these issues, you know, it's going to take courage. It takes courage to stand up, you know, in a meeting and say, you know, what are we doing here? You know, what are we really doing? Are we benefiting others? Are we really carrying a message? And, that's a tough thing to do, you know, especially when nowadays, like you mentioned, some of the clubs and some of the cliques that we have in the program, it's just become a lot of times a social gathering. It's about who's who and who likes who and who do we have coffee with. But what people don't understand is as a result of that, you know, unfortunately, there's people dying and there's people that aren't getting the help they need because, and I've been guilty of myself in the past, you know, more concentrating
sure.
And others think of myself than the responsibility of helping someone become free from this horrible, horrible disease?
I've had to come to the agreement that some people don't know me and they don't like me. Then some people get to know me, then they don't like me. It's none of my business what you think of me, because you think so little of me anyway. If not in stature, surely in time. We don't spend a lot of time in other people's heads. We just don't. We think we do, but we're just not all that important. So the important thing is to see how you can be of service to the next sufferer. That's our primary purpose. It's A and B. Stay sober, help the next sufferer. A, B.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was a guy who once told me, and he's out there in Ingram, Texas, and he said, Justin, he said, you know what? He says, I would rather have you not like me, even to the point of hating me, but you know what? You get the message and you become free from this horrible disease, then you love me and you die from this. And you know what? And I heard what he said, and at first I was like, you know, what a jerk. But you know what? The bottom line is, you know, bless him. God bless him. Because you know what? If more people stood up and said, you know what? I'd rather have you dislike me, but you live and be free, than you love me and you die from this disease. And, you know, thank God for him. And I wish more people would stand up and say, it's not about whether I'm your buddy and you think I'm the greatest person in the world, but that you tell me you love me enough to tell me the truth. That, you know what, if you don't do these things, you know what, it might not be such a good day, but if you do these things, whether you like them or not, you know what, things will get better. You know, and be honest with people and tell people the truth. Like the old saying, if you show me a reason to climb the mountain, I'll climb the mountain. But if you don't, well, guess what? I'm just not.
Yeah. It's hard to go against convention. People get set in their ways. Anytime someone comes up with an idea before it's time, and Rum Radio really isn't an idea before it's time, other than it's on the internet. But these are all concepts and ideas that have been around forever. These are proven ideas and concepts from the Big Book and the 12 and 12. But because of the presentation, and this is just not about alcoholics, it's just in the way people think generally. If an idea comes up before its time, first it's met with ridicule and then with violent opposition. And then until the violent opposition passes away, acceptance. Most of the people who I've had problems with refuse to look at the site.
Mm-hmm.
They won't look.
You know, it's just because, you know, and this is complete speculation, but from my own experience, you know, sometimes people are afraid to look at something that challenges, you know, their own personal belief structure. You know, if you look at something that, you know, and I'm still like that today, sometimes, you know, you get threatened because we have this, some belief that we really believe in, and then when someone else comes along with a different idea, it's just our human nature to say, well, no, that can't be, because maybe this has seemed to work for me for a while. And the problem is, a lot of time, a lot of these ideas that we have nowadays about AA and all the 12-step programs, they seem to work for a while. The whole 90 meetings in 90 days and no major changes for the first year. The problem is these things are just temporary. You know, we got to get to the bottom line and get really tapped in, because in the end, the Big Book talks about it. Once that relapse occurs, it's going to be even worse than the one before. So let's put aside all the, you know, the cliches and all that and get down to brass tacks and really get down to the foundation, you know, and all that other stuff is just icing on the cake. It's just extra stuff to do to grow spiritually. And I think that's the message I want to get across to people, and leave it open for people with like minds about it to feel free to be open and talk about this.
Good. Well, we're just about out of time. This was our maiden voyage, the Shakedown Cruise. So I guess it's thank you, everybody, for if you listen, try to get to the website. If you have any suggestions or changes that you don't agree with the site, we're open. To remain open to the program, you have to be willing to be a student. All right, I think that's enough out of us, huh, Justin? And then we'll have to decide how to set the rest of it up.
Yeah, we'll set up a next episode and post it for everybody, and we'll send those messages to Facebook and Twitter for information for our next show. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Good night.